Morning, church. I'll go ahead and start our morning announcements. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Classes begin at 5:30 in person and Zoom. Tithes, offers, and benevolence may be put in the box as you enter and exit the sanctuary before and after service. December announcements. December 7th, next Sunday, Communion Sunday. December 13th, UMBC Annual Church Meeting at 10 a.m. December 14th, Deacons and Trustees Annual Day observed during morning worship service at 10:15 a.m. Speaker will be Reverend William Johnson, retired pastor of Loving Missionary Baptist Church. O Come Let Us Adore Him. The Gospel Choir is hosting a Christmas musical on December 20th at 5 p.m. Please come to support and enjoy the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Denise Jones, Choir Director, Pastor Dr. U.D. Williams. December 21st, Sunday School Christmas Program. There will be a Sunday School Christmas presentation on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. before service. December 31st, New Year's Eve, Baptist Fellowship Joint Watch Night Service. This is tentative, so stay close to your emails for announcement. 2026 Announcing Clerk Ministry. The Announcing Clerk Ministry is preparing for its 2026 roster of participants. Announcements are to be read each morning at 10:10 a.m. Please contact Alicia Duffy if you're interested in being a member of his ministry. Sister Duffy may be reached at aaduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, email address, and your phone number in the email. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationship within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. This concludes our morning announcements. I'll turn you over the hands of the pulpit. Be blessed.
Amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. We come to praise Him. Oh, we can do better than that. Come on, let's put our hands together and praise of our God, for truly He is worthy. Amen. Our God is worthy on today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Point to yourself, say, I shall rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall. Amen. Amen. And amen. If you can please stand at this time, we're going to have our vision statement scripture reading, Matthew 22:37-40. Amen. 22:37-40. King James Version is what this is from. And we will recite this together, and then we will cite the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 22:37-40. If you could recite that with me together, let us say. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, all the law and the prophets. Let's say together, love God and love others. Amen. Amen. Let us say our Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. If you're able, please remain standing. We're going to have our morning congregational. This is the Jesus season. The world calls it Christmas, but this is the Jesus season. We're going to sing a Christmas between now and Christmas. Amen. The words will be on the screen. Oh, come all ye faithful. How many know that one? Oh, come all ye faithful. We're going to go ahead and sing that together. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4 of that. Joyful and triumphant, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold, come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Next verse, sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory to God, oh glory in the highest. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Christ. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In the presence of our God, we come this season to come and adore Christ. Jesus, who died for our sins. We celebrate this season where the divine became flesh, the incarnate of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We have to be reminded sometimes, don't we, that the season is because of Jesus. Born in a manger, coming from the divine to the flesh so he could be the atonement of our sins. That's love, church. That's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should perish, but have everlasting life. We're just coming off of Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. Has God been good to you? Yes, God has been good. I pray that everybody ate too much and had a good time. Amen, in our Thanksgiving season. And as we did that, we were thinking about our prayer meditation song. And we're going to do a little old school traditional. The Lord is blessing me right now. Is that all right? Amen. The Lord is blessing me right now. As we get our minds together Because we're always thankful, aren't we? We're thankful for the blessings. Not just the food, not but the shelter, but clothing, all right, mind. God just keeps on blessing us in spite of what is going on in the world. The Lord is blessing me right now. As we think about the goodness of Jesus and all he is doing for us, he's done for us. It's prayer time, church. It's prayer time. As we think about his goodness, his grace, and his mercy, focusing in on who God is, what he's done, and he will return. It's prayer time. Let us sing a verse of this song together as we think of his goodness and that he is blessing us right now. Oh, right now. Can you lift this up? The Lord is blessing. The Lord is blessing. Is blessing me. Oh, right now. Oh, right now. Oh, the Lord is blessing me. Right now, oh, right now. What did he do? He woke me up this morning, and he started me on my way. Hey, the Lord is blessing. We sing that again. Oh, the Lord is blessing. The Lord, oh, is blessing me. Yes, he is right now. Right now. Oh, right now. Ooh, the Lord, is blessing me. Right now. Oh, right now, he woke me up, oh, this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me. Right now, he woke me up, this morning. I was close in my right mind. Wait, do he didn't? He didn't. Oh, he woke right on time. Oh, he woke me up, oh, this morning, and he started me on my way. Those who would like to stand for prayer, even if you would like to come down. We have enough space today, amen. Oh, right now. Oh, right. My brother and my sister, as we stand, sit before our God, our Maker, let us pray, my brother, let us pray, my sister. Oh, most sovereign God, most holy God, God, creator of heaven and earth, the universe, and everything that is in it. The God who decided to give humanity dominion. God, who decided to give us free will and choice. Lord, we come right now to give you in your name all glory, honor, and praise. Because as we look at it, we're blessed. Any way we look at it, we're blessed. No matter what's going on the outside, the inside, or around us, God, we know that we're blessed. And it's by your grace and your mercy while we are here and we are blessed. Lord, we thank you for those who are making it over the highways and the byways, through the snowstorms, through the trains, through the airports, Lord. It's Thanksgiving time and holiday season and family seeing each other, Lord. We just say thank you for your hand, your traveling grace, keeping us even when we can't keep ourselves. We don't want to take it for granted that that plane is going to make it to its final destination, that car is going to make it safely in the driveway. Lord, we pray for those who are walking out on this ice and snow. Keep them, Lord. Sustain them. We pray against any falls or accidents right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, come here in this place. Somebody needs deliverance. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from a reprobate mind. Just deliverance from stuff. Lord, we pray for deliverance right now. Somebody needs healing. We know that you're able to heal. Come right now. Heal us and keep us. Oh, Lord, we invite your spirit here in this place as we come together, touching and agreeing, lifting up your holy name. We can truly say, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know, Lord. We just don't know where you'd be. We thank you, Lord, on today. We give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be. Amen. Amen. We thank God for this day that we have not seen before. And we thank God for his grace and his mercy. And for all of you who are here in this place and those who are listening in, you may be outside, be inside. We thank God wherever you are, that God is continued to be with you and his presence is guiding you in the midst of this dark world. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. We want to keep in mind that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. So between 9, some call it Advent season. But between now and Christmas, we're going to be talking about Jesus and his significance during this time that the world is recognizing the Christmas season. We want to make sure that we know why and the core of Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If your sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Isaiah chapter 9, 6, 7 reads as follows. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, King James Version reads as follows. It says in the King James Version, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, but upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. You may be seated. On today, as we go into Christmas Sunday, first part of this reminder on these Sundays leading up to Christmas, the title and thought for today is The Promise of Hope. The Promise of Hope. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of hope. And as I look at this world today, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I need some hope. And I need to find hope. And as I think of Jesus, I have all the hope I need. And brothers and sisters, as we look at today, Christmas is the reminder that the greatest light can shine and give us hope in the most ordinary places. Light can shine in places where you wouldn't think that light can shine. And one thing that I read as I read about Jesus is that the light can shine and transform stables of our lives into scenes of wonder and hope. Today, as we gather today, I want you to look at your life and some of the things you are happy with and some things that you're not happy with and some things that you are going through, and be reminded that if you have Jesus, Jesus coming into this world is the fulfillment of hope. We needed hope there in the garden. Adam and Eve got together and decided to be disobedient, and then sin entered the human race. We needed hope. And Jesus Christ is the answer and is the hope that we needed. So as we gather together today, let's explore this prophecy found in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And what is a prophecy? Prophecy is a declaration. It is a revelation. It is an action given by God, and usually through individuals called prophets. And the instruction is usually a correction, a comfort to the people, or telling them that they have a chance if they just change their ways. And these verses speak to a promise, a divine intervention, and a kingdom that knows no end. It's a prophetic word, church, that God has said in Isaiah's time through Isaiah that the promise of hope is coming through Jesus Christ. These verses speak of a promise, a promise that comes in a world of conflict. As we explore this verse today, let us open our hearts to the eternal reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the promise of hope and the everlasting King of the Prince of Peace. He is the everlasting kingdom of the Prince of Peace. And as I want to share a little story on this morning, is that there was a traveler and once took refuge in a small little cozy house. And during a raging winter storm, sound familiar to anybody? As the wind was beating up against the window and the snow was sneaking under the cracks of the door and battered the walls, and it was hurling outside, this small little cozy house glowed with a soft little light, a single candle in the window. Even though there was things going outside, even though it was roaring outside, even though it was chaos outside, even though outside it wasn't comfortable, it was cold, it was freezing, there wasn't peace outside, inside where the candle was peace and calm. In the same way, brothers and sisters, people search for peace in many directions and in many ways, but only the calming light of the Prince of Peace, only the calming light of Jesus Christ, only the calming light of the Son of God can lighten up the darkest night of your soul. That's what I'm trying to say, is that there's chaos in this world. Many of us are confused about what's going on in the government. Many of us are confused about what's going on in our schools. Many of us are confused about why our health is a certain way. Many of us are confused on our relationships. We have a lot of things going on. But as we reflect on this season, we must reflect on Jesus, that in the midst of it all, he is the fulfillment of the promise of hope. Because our focus today is on these things in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. First, we got to look at the identity and the titles of the child who was born to us. Isaiah lets us know in chapter 9, verse 6, that there is a child born, there is a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what's his name? His name is Wonderful. What's his name? His name is Counselor. What is his name? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We got to look at that, church. And after we look at that, we need to look at who God is, the nature and the scope of this government of the child. And finally, as I prepare to close after talking those things, I want you to consider the everlasting peace and justice that Jesus' kingdom will bring. We aim today not to talk about toys, not to talk about games, not to see if you got the big gift, but to let you know you already have the gift. The gift of Jesus Christ for your salvation. So we need to look at this understanding and strengthen our faith in the Prince of Peace. And just in case you miss it, the Prince of Peace is Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 is simple. It must be understood within the setting in the text in the scripture has. There's a political crisis going on. As you read Isaiah in those words, step on into that scene, and there's a political crisis going on. And Isaiah has to speak to the government and let them know there's a longing for deliverance. And Isaiah has to let them know that in the midst of it all, that there is a word from the Lord. While also recognizing in this text, it's a long-standing theological significance because it points to Jesus as the Messiah. That's what this is. It's in Isaiah 9 and 6, we not only see that there's a political crisis and that there's problems going on, but in the midst of the people in this text wanting and desiring deliverance, what's the answer? The Messiah. Jesus. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, it was written during a time of great political turmoil and uncertainty. And who pops up as the prophetic word? The Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In the midst of turmoil, when God is speaking to his people, who pops up? Jesus. Jesus is coming. And during this time of turmoil and uncertainty in the reign of King Ahaz of Judah, the kingdom of Judah was facing threats from powerful neighbors and nations. Things were in turmoil and chaos, church, particularly in the Assyrian Empire, which was expanding aggressively throughout the Near East. They were being threatened to be taken over, and the people wanted to be delivered from all of this war. Condemnation. But in the midst of Isaiah's prophecy in this passage, it offers hope and reassurance to the people of Judah that even though they're going through, even though they have sinned, even though they have to suffer the consequences of their sin, the verses speak of the birth of a child who will bring peace, who will bring justice and righteousness and rule. This child is described with exalted titles such as we said. This child is Wonderful Counselor. This child is Mighty God. This child is Everlasting Father. This child is Prince of Peace. The promise here is that his government will be marked by endless peace and upheld with justice and righteousness. Do you get it, brothers and sisters? That as we look at this text, is that the people, Israel, were going through some things because they were disobedient through God and other nations were taking them over. And in the midst of this, God sent a word through Isaiah that there is a king coming. There is a savior coming. There is a Messiah coming. And that's what this passage talks about. And as we reflect on Jesus, especially during this Christmas season, we must reflect that Jesus is the answer to conflict. Jesus is the answer to crisis. Jesus is the answer when you feel like you don't have any hope. Israel was in a situation where they feel like they were less than, that they could not win, that they needed victory. And Jesus was the answer through the prophet that God has said, the Messiah shall come. First thing, as we look at this, the identity and titles of this child. I've said it several times. I hope you got it, but just in case you didn't get it, I love saying it again. He's wonderful. Who's he? Jesus. He is the counselor. Who's the counselor? Jesus. He's the mighty God. Who is it? Jesus. He's the everlasting Father. Who is it? Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. But let's keep this in mind biblically, that Jesus is the answer to a government and to a nation in the midst of crisis. For those who need salvation, that's who Jesus is. In Isaiah 9 and 6, it continues today in our world to inspire faith. We talked about Israel and what they were dealing with, that there were other nations that were coming and taking them over. They were in the middle of exile and going through all these things. But in today, we're not in that direct situation. But if you look at our government, people getting shot. People are getting executed. There's turmoil going on, and people, even in the church, are getting frustrated. They don't like the senator. They don't like the president. They don't like the mayor. They don't like anybody frustrated. But can I tell you, the true answer is Jesus? Because how can we apply this text, 9 and 6 of Isaiah, today is because in our world, our faith should be inspired. Instead of saying Jesus will fix it, step back and know and let Jesus fix it. As we look at 9 and 6, what does this verse do for us? It helps us shape our theology. It helps us shape our study of God and who God is. I talked about Genesis. God is the creator and sustainer of life. He can start life and he can stop life. Can I say that again? We need to understand and remind ourselves that God is the creator and he can start life and he can stop life. And since he has all control, looking at this, it ought to inspire our faith and influence us to interpret leadership and justice and divine intervention as a thing that God does. God brings leadership. God brings justice. And he brings intervention. Just when you think all hope is lost, Isaiah speaks of a child who is born. Somebody asked me, Pastor, why do you call the name of Jesus? Because I need somebody to break my darkness. In the midst of this, when I call out his name, I realize I'm in a bad spot. I'm in a dark spot. And when I call out Jesus, that's what he was sent for, to break the chaos. A child is born, a son is given. And this attributes to him and his titles of the Wonderful Counselor and the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And what does this mean? These titles reveal the divine nature and multifaceted role of the Messiah, the one who is the Savior. Have you ever thought about Jesus? If you ain't thought about him, think about him now. He's wonderful. He's wonderful counselor. He's Prince of Peace. He's wonderful counselor because his wisdom and guidance is everything that we desire and need. He's a mighty God. Why is he a mighty God? Because it shows his divinity that there is no other God. There is no other trinket. There is no other shape like a bird. There is no God that have feet and hands and can't walk or slap nobody. God is. God is God. He is God. I know not only is he the wonderful counselor, not only is he the mighty God, but he's the everlasting Father. And what that means is his eternal care. He ain't no baby daddy, church. He ain't no paycheck every month. You ain't got to go and search for his Social Security card and get his Social Security number. He's a father that's everlasting. He takes care of his children. I'm sorry to mess with you this morning, but I feel like having church. Is there anybody here that knows that you ain't got no baby daddy God? You got an everlasting father. He's there all the time. He's caring for you. He's the everlasting father. His eternal care. He picks you up. He supports you. And finally, when it says Prince of Peace, it highlights his role in bringing reconciliation and harmony. That's what Prince of Peace is all about, is bringing about reconciliation and harmony. So what are some things that we can look at as this verse 6, 9 on today? Because we don't have the Assyrians coming after us. We're not being exiled, as far as we know. There are people being deported. Y'all hear me? That's why Jesus is relevant today. It's because our world may be going through it a different way, but we're going through the same thing. And we all need spiritual encouragement and hope. That's what we can get from this text for today, is spiritual encouragement and hope. In a world often marked with uncertainty, conflict, and injustice, this verse serves as a reminder of divine sovereignty, meaning the supreme power and authority of our God. And there is in the midst of this a promise of peace. You can turn to this verse for reassurance that God is in control. Do you hear me? You can read this verse. Can I read it? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And what does this remind us? That God is in control, even in the midst of chaos. So remember that as we remember Jesus, spiritual encouragement and hope is available to us by reading this verse. And then the messianic expectation, the expectation of the Messiah. Who is Jesus? Is this verse is often brought up about the birth of Jesus Christ. And the reason why we bring this verse up, it is a prophetic. Do y'all remember prophetic? It's a declaration of Christ's identity and his mission. And why are these titles so important? These titles are important because they declare Christ's identity and his mission. The Prince of Peace means he's going to bring peace. A Mighty God means that he is divine in nature and he is the sole Savior and he has the power over all things. Do you remember he was out in the midst of the storm and he said, "Peace, be still," and that storm stopped? That still applies today. Anybody got some storms that need to be stopped? Anybody got some stuff that needs to be halted? Then as I look at this verse 6, it helps us with our political and our social reflection. People have their views. And if you look at this, God has given us all free will. Not to be violent and hurt nobody, but free will to say things, freedom of speech, if you will. The reason why I'm saying this is in our world, there's a lot of shooting and death, assassinations, because people are saying what they think and what they feel. Have we ever thought if we would just stand on the word of God and let them know who Jesus is? Not their version of Jesus, but who the true living Savior is. This verse helps us reflect on the qualities and ideal leadership of the real thing. This verse outlines the characteristics such as wisdom. Do you see it there? Strength. Do you see it there? Eternal care. By reading the names of Jesus in Isaiah 9 and 6, we realize that there's a characteristic of wisdom and strength and eternal care and peace in God, and often contrasted with the shortcomings of our contemporary leaders where they don't show wisdom, strength, and eternal care. Everybody has not been called to lead, but those who've been called must lead. And those who lead should not be taken advantage of because they lead it. Amen. Help me, somebody. But we know, we human, it's going to happen. If you in the leadership position, and because it's snowing outside and we're in a storm, I'm going to use this analogy. Everybody going to put their snow in your driveway. Because you the leader, they're going to take their snow and put their snow in your driveway. But what's the answer, preacher? Because I feel like giving up. I feel like going on. And sometimes it's good to step away. But look at Isaiah 9 and 6. It gives you hope. it gives you the ability to stand on your calling, because if you lead with wisdom, if you lead with strength and eternal care and peace, those who are putting all the snow in your driveway, God will touch their heart, and eventually they'll grab a shovel. And if they decide not to grab a shovel, God will transition them. You'll catch what I'm saying. God has a way of taking care of those who do not go along with his program. But I want to be clear, because a lot of times we say that leaders should put up with this, and they should, and they should go through this. But on the other side, you shouldn't take advantage of people who are in leadership position, especially if you don't want to do it. Amen. You should love them and build them up. Hallelujah. Help me, somebody. If you don't want to do it, then let them have it. But pray for them. Support them. And actually help them. Amen. And this verse helps us, because we see wisdom, strength, and eternal care in Isaiah 9 and 6 and how it is to care for people. Next point then I'm going to leave alone is the nature and scope of his government. In Isaiah 9 and 7, in today's world, it calls for action. That there must be action in today's world. It gives insight and shapes moral expectations for leadership. It offers hope for a better world grounded in divine justice and peace. Isaiah 9:7 speaks of a government that will increase and have no end, and it's established with justice and righteousness. And this prophecy points to the eternal and everlasting expanding reign of Christ, that Christ reigns, and he will reign forever and ever. Unlike earthly kingdoms that rise and fall, Jesus' government is characterized by a justice and a righteousness ensuring fairness and moral integrity. Nobody's Jesus, but we can model our life like Jesus. And can I tell you this? It's not just leaders who have been called to live right. All of us who are believers have a certain Christian standard that is placed in our lives. Help me, somebody. I'll say amen all by myself. Amen all by myself. Because it's not just those who are in leadership who should exercise wisdom and strength and things of that nature, because all of us have a calling for a certain season. But all of us who are believers should hold up the Christian standard. And then if we all are handing up and holding up the Christian standard, then them arguments and that tension and stuff and headbutting will come down, because we all on the same course. But if self comes in and not righteousness comes in, then there's a conflict. Here, the vision of justice leadership. Here on today, we can see that there is a vision of just leadership. Is that even in a world where there's crooked presidents, there's crooked senators, there's crooked representatives, there's crooked teachers, there's crooked cops, crooked pastors, crooked deacons, crooked trustees, crooked leaders, crooked members. What I'm saying is everybody crooked. Don't just say that one crooked without saying that you crooked. Everybody crooked. Everybody bent. Everybody need to be straightened out. In a world that is always talking about what's wrong and there's corruption, look at yourself, because you corrupted. And Isaiah 9 and 7 inspires a vision of ethical and just governance. You don't have to say yes to the Lord. You don't have to say yes. But if you decide to say yes, your life should say yes also. And you shouldn't just let anything go. It reminds us that people of importance, of leaders who promote fairness, uphold justice. Did y'all get that? Uphold justice. That means if it's right for one person, it's right for everybody. And it's God's righteousness, not our righteousness. If it's wrong for one person, it's wrong. He got quiet on that. It's wrong for everybody. We are called to uphold justice and serve with integrity. And many use this verse to advocate for political systems that reflect these values. So if you look at this verse, this lets us know not only in the government, but we who are God's people and as reflect on Jesus, that we must uphold, can I say it this way, Christian values wherever we go. It's all right to have people in the church. Let them come in the church. But if they're not ready for leadership, don't put them in leadership. And what means not ready? If your lifestyle is not where it needs to be, then get it right, then lead. Because your lifestyle can be a distraction to somebody else. The Bible is very clear about that. It's not that you can't attend church. It's not that you can't come and be a part of. But if you're going to say somebody else ain't ready, then everybody ain't ready. Help me, somebody. Is that we have to hold a righteous standard for everybody. Everybody has to be on the same Christian standard. I've even heard it. Well, I want to get them busy so they can come and stay at the church. Do you know that work don't keep people at church? God keeps people at church. Them same people, you got to keep calling them, right? But the folk that got Jesus in their heart, you ain't got to call them. They're going to be there because they're here. Because it's getting quiet. Help me, somebody. You can't build a kingdom by self-effort. It's God's effort. If you got to get them, amen, pray for them. And tell them when they get it right, then you can lead, because this verse calls about a certain standard of values. Next thing, the Christian understanding of Christ's reign. I'm working on y'all, but I got to teach today. It's because many of us get caught up in the biggest gift. What you getting to me for Christmas? Did you wrap it right? Oh, come on, get it to Amazon on time now. I want my gift. We need to keep it real, and it's about Jesus. So in our understanding of Christ's reign, we need to understand that Christ is reigning. In 9:6, it is seen as a prophecy about the eternal reign of Jesus Christ, that he shall reign forever. I said that before. He shall reign what? Forever and ever. It is interpreted as a promise that Christ's kingdom will grow continually and be marked by peace and justice. And this encourages you and me to live according with the values of Christ's kingdom. That's all I'm saying. Is that if we are under the reign of Jesus Christ, then we should live to the values of Christ's standard and his kingdom, and to work toward peace and righteousness in our community. Wherever we are, we should work toward that prize. Well, I've messed with you long enough. Folk don't shout on stuff like that. But Isaiah 9:7 may make you go a little amen. Is Isaiah 9:7, this other part is the everlasting peace and justice of his kingdom. Everlasting peace and justice of his kingdom. The passage assures us, brothers and sisters, that peace and justice will be upheld forever by the zeal of the Lord God Almighty. The eternal peace promised is not merely the absence of conflict, but the presence of God's perfect order, that everything will, in God's time, line up to the way God wants it to be. Justice will prevail. Somebody may be getting by right now, but they can't get away. Justice will prevail as Christ reigns with fairness and with equality. You can run, but you can't hide. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding, rooted and grounded in the commitment that God has for us, that he loves us. He loves us in spite of ourselves. That's the truth, that God loves us in spite of ourselves. And because he loves us, what did he do? He gave us Jesus. So it ought to encourage you on today. Encourage you in the midst of an unfair world, outside the church and inside the church. On the side of the church, on top of the church, under the church. You ought to be inspired that justice will prevail. For individuals and those who are facing oppression and injustice, Isaiah 9:7 lets us know that God's justice will prevail. God's reign will prevail. It reinforces you and me to believe that evil will not have the final word. If you missed it, that is the shout right there. That evil will not have the final word. That God's righteousness and his righteous order will one day be established and have the final word. So is there anybody in here that's been talked about? Is there anybody in here that's been mistreated? Is there anybody in here who's been disgusted? Is there anybody here who's been left out? That's all right. Call on the Prince of Peace. Call on the mighty Counselor. Call on the mighty God. He's able to bring peace in the midst of your chaos. He's all right, I tell you. He's all right. If you don't have him, you better call him. Well, I don't have his number. Somebody said 111. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. But I ain't got his number, but I do have his name. Do you mind if I call on his name? Mary's baby, midnight rider, that rose of Sharon, the great fiery chariot. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. There is a promise of hope, my brothers and sisters. As we conclude on today, let's remember that Isaiah's prophecy is not just foretelling, but a reality in which our lives should live for Jesus. The child who was born to us reigns as what? The Wonderful Counselor. Reigns as the Mighty God. Reigns as the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. His kingdom is here and is now. You don't have to wait. And it's expanding and growing. But there is going to be a time where everything will line up with the righteousness of God, his justice, and his peace. What can we do as citizens of heaven? Let us commit our lives to living as faithful citizens of heaven. Reflect on his character and allow his character to become our character. Reflect on what he does and depend on Jesus to do what Jesus does. And he is the light that dispels the darkness in this world. He is the Prince of Peace, the promise of hope, that when you bring Jesus in, he makes sure that there is no chaos. There is peace in the midnight hour. I'm through, but is there anybody that was able to sleep in the midnight hour? Anybody had some midnight hours? And you was able to sleep simply because you have the Prince of Peace that brings peace to the midst of your world. Brothers and sisters, if there's someone today who has sinned as your ruler, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord or your Savior, you would like Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, your promise of hope, everlasting right relationship with God, accept Jesus Christ, believe in him, confess your sins. If you come, my brother, come, my sister, you can even raise your hand on today, whatever God, the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior. You're not dealing with Assyrians right now as Israel, but you're dealing with conflict. You're dealing with people who are trying to take you over. You're dealing with death knocking at the door. You need Jesus. All you have to do is accept him. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your Prince of Peace on today? All you have to do is raise your hand. All you have to do is come down, whatever your choice is on today. You can also go on our website, umbchurch.org, umbchurch.org, under Get Connected. Is there someone today that already has Christian experience? You've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you do not have a church home. You would like to come and connect with this body of believers. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one on today you would like to give your life to Jesus? Give your heart to him, but connect with a body of believers if you already have done so. Is there one on today? My brother, my sister, is there one? Give your life to Jesus, candidate for baptism. Is there one on today you would like to come and join with this body of believers? Christian experience or by letter, we can explain all that to you. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one on today? Is there one on today? If you will come, my brother, if you'll come, my sister. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because care for me in such special way. It's why I praise you. I lift you up. Oh, I magnify your name. Is there one? That's why my heart is filled with praise. As we leave on today, can you join us in singing? Oh, I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me. It's such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. Oh, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. All the worshipers, if you'll please stand. We offer Christ unto you every day, every moment. As we reflect through this Christmas season, remember that Jesus came into a world of chaos. The prophetic word of Jesus was given to come, and he would eventually be the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of this world. And today, as we reflect on Jesus, he breaks the darkness. He breaks the conflict. He delivers us from a world that wants to have a stronghold on us and the consequences of our sin. Jesus comes and breaks that stronghold. And truly, we can lift up his name and say, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Let us pray. Father God, we say thank you on today. We lift you up. We give your name glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Jesus, the mighty counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All that you are, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We just invite your spirit to keep us and sustain us. Let us have safe travels as we go on highways, byways, through the air, even on the train tracks and the buses. Lord, we thank you. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen, amen, amen. Go with God, go in peace.